From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. Iraq's president has named a new prime minister to end the 8-year term of Nouri al-Maliki, who is so far refusing to step down, deploying special forces to protect his tenure. U.S. President Barack Obama congratulated Haidar al-Abadi, who was named by President Fouad Massoum to replace him.
As I said when I authorized these operations, there is no American military solution to the larger crisis in Iraq. The only lasting solution is for Iraqis to come together and form an inclusive government, one that represents the legitimate interests of all Iraqis, and one that can unify the country's fight against ISIL.
The U.S. has reportedly begun providing weapons to Kurdish forces in a bid to push back Islamic State militants in northern Iraq. Nina Maria Potts reports.
Reports the Obama administration is now sending weapons to Kurdish forces underscores the level of concern here in Washington over their vulnerability. The U.S. State Department will only say that the Kurds are getting arms from a number of different sources and that they're being rearmed. The White House is repeatedly insisting that Iraqis must solve their own security problems. The U.S. military has in previous days been helping with weapons deliveries from the Iraqis to the Kurds, including logistics and transportation.
Indirect talks between Israeli and Palestinian negotiators have started in Cairo, aimed at bringing an end to the conflict in Gaza. The fresh talks, brokered by Egypt, come during another 3-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Some 2,000 people have died since the latest round of fighting began on the 8th of July. But Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev says the violence must stop before negotiations can begin.
We're a democracy, we're a free country, and we're acting to protect our people. And Hamas is a terrorist group, extremist Islamist, very radical, very cutthroat. The violence must stop, and if Hamas doesn't stop the violence, so these talks will stop.
In eastern Ukraine, over 100 prison inmates have escaped after 5 artillery shells hit a high-security prison nearby Donetsk, creating a riot. One prisoner was killed, while 5 other inmates and 2 guards were injured when the shells hit. Daria Bandarchuk reports from Moscow.
Ukraine's prison service says 34 inmates have been returned to the prison and they are trying to track down the others. Ukrainian artillery has been shelling the city's outskirts as part of an operation to push out pro-Russian militants from the area. Fighting started in April when the militants seized government buildings across eastern Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands of civilians have reportedly fled the area. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. The European Union is setting up a task force to assess the impact of the Russian ban on food imports from the EU. Moscow banned the import of EU and US food last week, citing health concerns as the reason, but it's been widely received as a retaliatory measure to Western sanctions imposed on Russia over their actions in Ukraine. Jack Pirak reports.
The European Commission says it will react in a proportionate and rapid way to the food import ban by Moscow. Around 10% of EU agricultural exports go to Russia, amounting to roughly 11 billion euros of trade per year. Poland says it will file a complaint to the World Trade Organization over the embargo, as may the European Commission over the ban on EU pork. Despite calls from countries like Bulgaria, an emergency meeting of agricultural ministers has not been called. However, national experts from across the 28 member states, as well as commission officials, will meet in Brussels Thursday. Jack Parrock, Brussels.
And at a federal trial in New York City this week, lawyers representing Americans killed or injured in terrorist attacks will seek millions of dollars from the Jordanian bank they say funneled money to the group responsible. Arab Bank will face a jury over claims it knowingly provided material support and services to the terrorist group Hamas. Lawyers say this is the first terrorism financing case against a bank to go to trial in the U.S. Patrice Howard reports from New York.
Arab Bank claims it did not knowingly serve the extremist group, but plaintiffs will argue that the bank facilitated the distribution of funds to terrorists and their families after violent attacks. A family of one suicide bomber reportedly received the equivalent of over $5,000 by simply showing proof of identity. The almost 300 U.S. citizens who were victims or family of victims of terrorist attacks committed by Hamas between 2001 and 2004 sued the bank and will now seek compensation. Patrice Howard, New York.
And that's the latest from Feature Story News. Rebecca Foster reporting.